You are listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and we are going to be concluding our series on Celebrate Christmas, exploring the truths, traditions, and meaning of Christmas. And to do so, I've invited Dr. Steve Lemke onto this broadcast. Dr. Lemke is provost and professor of philosophy and ethics and McFarland Chair of Theology at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Lemke, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be here.
Now, your piece was very interesting. You wrote about the incarnation and why it matters. You started out your piece saying, as we celebrate Christmas, we focus on one of the most important Christian doctrines, the incarnation. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And you ask this provoking question and offer a series of answers. Why does the incarnation really matter so much?
Well, there are several reasons. One is that it reminds us that the body is not evil. And certainly in the first century world, there were many people in the second century who believed that the body was evil. There was a view in Greek religion and Greek philosophy that the body was evil and the soul was good. And so when the church began proclaiming that Jesus came in the flesh and that he was crucified and then he was the bodily resurrection, there were many in that world that had difficulty with that because they couldn't imagine God coming in the flesh. And so there was a group called Gnostics or Docetics, that coming from the Greek word dose, that means he seemed to be human or he appeared to be human, but he wasn't really human. But he really did come in the flesh, and John really underscores that not only in the prologue to the Gospel of John, where he talks about the Word became flesh, but also later in the Epistle of 1 John, he speaks about we saw him, we heard him, and even more remarkably, it says we handled him, we touched him, to make it very clear to those who doubted Jesus' incarnation that he really did become a real human being. And that just tells us that our bodies aren't necessarily evil in and of themselves. In fact, when God created them in Genesis 1, he said it's very good. So our bodies aren't necessarily evil. That's one thing, certainly, that the incarnation suggests to us.
Yes. And you go on to say the incarnation, or God incarnate, really matters because Jesus identifies or understands us.
I think that's such an important point because it's very easy for us to think that, he's God. He doesn't possibly know what I'm going through, what I'm struggling with. But in fact, he has gone through these things, and he's been hungry. He's been tempted. He's been thirsty. When he hit his finger with the hammer in his father's carpenter's shop, it hurt, and certainly he was in great agony on the cross. So, and he lived in the modern, he didn't live in the modern world. He lived in the first century and did not have the kind of conveniences, air conditioning and so forth, that we have. And so Hebrews 4:15 says he can sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a great high priest who knows what it's like, and he can sympathize with our weaknesses, our struggles, because he's been there, and so he can understand from having been a human. If he had only been God, then it would be difficult to understand just how difficult it is to be fallible and mortal and so forth. And But Jesus has been human, and therefore he can identify with us and understand us.
And that's a treasure of Christianity, as opposed to some other worldviews. You also talk about how Jesus' incarnation makes him a perfect mediator in our prayer with God the Father. Could you talk about that?
Sure. He is the great high priest. Hebrews speaks about that, and in particular, Hebrews 4:14 and 15 says that he has been tempted in all points as are we, and yet without sin. And so, again, as we go through a crisis, we sometimes have people say to us, well, I know what you feel like, and yet often we want to say, no, you really don't know what we feel like because you haven't walked in my shoes. You haven't been in this specific situation. But Jesus really, I guess you could say he walked a mile in our sandals and really did take on human flesh. And so when we pray to him, again, it's not some stranger who doesn't understand what it's like. In fact, we know that he was in agony at Gethsemane as he struggled about God's will. And I know I've had some good friends who suggested, well, you know, he wasn't really struggling there. I mean, surely he really knew, but that's what the scripture says, agony to the point of bleeding, that he was in such agony as he struggled over that great decision of moving forward with the will of God. So he knows what our struggles are like, and so when we pray in the name of Jesus, we can have great confidence that he is a great high priest who knows what our struggles are like, and certainly the perfect mediator to God the Father for our prayers.
That's fantastic to hear and inspiring. You talk about the remission of sins, the importance of forgiveness in the incarnation.
This is a point that I think many Christians really don't think through, but certainly it's been very important in the history of the church. That first of all, we know from Scripture, Hebrews 9:22, in particular, that without blood there is no remission of sin. And so, if God could have sent an angel and that been good enough, I'm sure he would have done that instead of sending his own son. But if blood sacrifice is required, then only real flesh and blood creatures can do that. And of course, before Christ, it was the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and sheep and goats and so forth. But Jesus became that perfect sacrifice once for all, and so no longer have today to have the Day of Atonement as they have in Judaism, where each year there is sacrifice for the sins of that year. But he came once for all, as it repeatedly says in Scripture. So he took on human flesh, as the Scripture talks about. But also the early church, there was an early church father named Gregory who said a famous saying, it's been repeated by others like Augustine, that which is not assumed is not healed. Okay. Meaning, if Jesus has not assumed or taken on full human nature, then his sacrifice does not heal. It does not atone. And so it was necessary. Obviously, in the plan of God, he knew that it was going to be necessary for a sacrifice to be made to atone for the sins of all humanity. And so it simply was necessary because certainly none of us would ever achieve righteousness on our own. And so through him, we can have forgiveness, atonement, salvation, eternal life. But, you know, I think that's a point that so many people struggle with. We have a ministry on Wednesday nights in our church, and we're reaching out to lower income and some day laborers. Some of them may or may not be documented. And we were talking again to a person we've talked with before last night, and it came down to this point that he just has it in his mind because he grew up in a religious tradition that works righteousness was important. That he kept talking about being perfect, got to be perfect. And I just can't be perfect. And we kept telling him that you're never going to be perfect. And the only way that your sins are ever going to be forgiven is put your faith in Christ, because
Amen.
He has paid for your sins. And, you know, boy, we just felt like he was so close last night. He did not follow through yet to make that commitment, but I think he at least appreciates the significance of the commitment. But it's just so many people have difficulty. They want to try to earn their salvation and deserve it, and it's never going to happen that way. It's only going to come through the atonement of the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ.
What a perfect gift we have in Christmas, in the Incarnation. And one final point you brought up was about resurrection. And I think this is such an encouraging note to end on. Could you talk about the Incarnation as it matters to resurrection?
I would. I'd be glad to. And when Paul spoke on Mars Hill in Athens, there were several groups of philosophers present. And to talk about the immortality of the soul, the Greek philosophy had believed in that for many, many years. But when he brought up the idea of the resurrection, that's when the scripture says in Acts 17 that they got up and said, well, we're going to, well, that's when they broke up the sermon. And so, again, it was talking about not just that our spirits or our souls will go to heaven, but our bodies. Well, there will be a bodily resurrection. Of course, we know from 1 Corinthians 15 that it's going to be a glorified body, and I look forward to that because I'll be more glorious and beautiful in heaven than I am in this life. But certainly 1 Corinthians 15 says this is the most crucial of all our doctrines. Paul said, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we're still in our sins, our faith is in vain, our preaching is in vain. And so it all hangs on the resurrection, and it is not just the resurrection of a spirit or a soul, but it's the bodily resurrection. And as we come to the Christmas season, I know many families have experienced a loss in their family, or this might be the first time as they sit around the table that there's an empty chair. And so certainly we celebrate with joy the birth of the child, but it ultimately was the cross and the resurrection that gives us our great hope.
Amen.
Years ago, I was driving along a highway and saw a Santa. It was one of those life-size Santas, or just a jolly Santa, and just so, you know, just the joyous kind of spirit of what we sometimes think about for Christmas. But as my line of vision continued behind that Santa, next door was a cemetery. And there were all these crosses, and I realized that as you know, I don't have people who don't have a problem with people who enjoy Santa Claus and so forth, but Santa Claus can only bring toys, and what the deeper issues in life are life and death, and what happens after death, and what assurance do we have of a meaningful life. And that's what only Jesus Christ can bring. And so the resurrection, the fact that Jesus didn't just ascend into heaven, but as some kind of spirit, but his body was resurrected. They literally had breakfast with him, and they saw him, and he invited Thomas to put his to touch his hand and realize that he was real. So that just gives us great hope for the resurrection, that we will be together with our loved ones in the future.
Very good. We're talking to Dr. Steve Lemke, professor of philosophy and ethics at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. I want to encourage all our listeners to check out the article at baptistmessenger.com. And Dr. Lemke, thank you for coming on and expounding upon these points and encouraging us to focus on Christ this Christmas in his incarnation, God incarnate, God with us. Thank you again.
Thank you, Brian, and Merry Christmas to Oklahoma Baptist.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program in the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, visit baptistmessenger.com or find us in the iTunes Store.